One of the, among many things, I've had more fun during this series. I told you last week, doing preachers that have enriched my faith. And one of the more interesting aspects has been to try to find a scripture that fits the person that I'm talking about, and how that person impacted not only my life, but as that scripture impacts your life in the Spirit of Christ. And today is no exception. Next week was a little more difficult, really, to try to find a scripture for Peter Marshall. And I want to tell you, it's a great scripture. But today is even more interesting because I'm talking about Paul Shearer. I had no idea who Paul Shearer was when I went to seminary in 1960, in the fall of 1960. I told you I knew George Buttrick. I knew about George Buttrick from Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. But Paul Shearer, also from New York, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church pastor for many, many years. And then he was asked and invited, I might say, by Princeton Seminary to come and teach preaching at that school, following George Buttrick's semi-retirement. Paul Shearer, a very fine Lutheran pastor teaching Presbyterians how to preach. But I have to tell you this, he sure could. He was the most amazing preacher I have ever heard, and I told you that about every single one that I've mentioned during this series. But there was one that just caught me in awe because of his use of the English language and how magnificent the sermons were because they brought in, notice what I'm doing, they brought in everyone to that word. Now, I told you before, you could always tell someone when they were taught by either George Buttrick or Paul Shearer. George Buttrick, Paul Shearer, and you'll see a little bit of that in all of my preaching. Most of it, when I use my hands a lot, is from the Italian neighborhood in Wellsburg where I grew up. When I went to seminary and I had Paul Shearer that second semester for homiletics, and each of us had to give a short meditation on Scripture, and I did. He said, "Can you preach without using your hands?" I said, "It wouldn't be fun." We became very good friends as teacher and student. He was only to teach, really, 1 year, and he ended up teaching two, and I had him for 2 years of preaching. Wow. Then I told you before that my senior year, I had the wonderful assigned sermon. Some of the seniors were allowed to preach whatever they wanted, and then some were given an assigned text. I was given an assigned text. I had all summer to get it ready. And I worked that sermon to death. It's like you're going over a case and you can overcase it. You can overpreach it. I thought I did a fine job. And then Paul Shearer stood there, and there was Joy coming, taking her day off teaching, sitting in the back, waiting to hear good words about her husband, the future preacher of the world. And Paul Shearer said, "Young man, you could preach the Yellow Pages effectively, but that was no sermon." What can I say? I hope I've learned something in 54 years since then. But Paul Shearer also preached our baccalaureate for our closing before graduation. And I'm so glad. His way of bringing you into the Word was just magnificent. And you felt that if God hadn't been listening, he was missing something really good. because of the way he preached. Paul Scherer. Amazing, even for a Lutheran. I had to say that. Open your Bibles. This is a good lesson for Lent and a good lesson for today when we're going to have a fellowship dinner and talk about mission. John, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 12. And you know the scripture, you've read it many times on your own, where Jesus heals a blind man. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Told you before that if you had an affliction back in those times, they thought it was from sin. It was somebody else's fault. Sounds like Washington. Or it was yours. Okay? "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent us. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it in the man's eyes. "Go," he told him. "Wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who'd formerly seen him begging ask, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." "So where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. The wonderful lesson that we have here shows us Jesus performing a wonderful miracle of giving sight to a man born blind. In the larger context, this healing gave us some kind of an idea about how the Jewish leadership ruled in that particular time. They always tied human suffering to sin regardless. It was either their fault before they were born, or it was their parents or grandparents or somebody who had some association with the household. Well, that's the way it was. And here we have Jesus taking away suffering, bringing light out of darkness. And here is the opening to the new, more exciting aspect of what we might call the Word of God as it applies to us. The one thing I loved about Paul Scherer, was his ability to broaden the gospel and deepen its application to our life. He always told us, he said, "My young gentlemen," that's before we had young women in seminary, "before you go to the church on Sunday morning, before you prepare to preach, read the front page of your paper." He said, "I never, never went into the pulpit unless I read the front page of the New York Times." You have to know what the world is doing before you preach, before you share, before you pray. One of the wise guys in class said, I always read the National Enquirer. Does that help? Even Paul Shearer laughed. To know what's going on, you need to know human suffering. To share the Word of God, you need to know the pain of the world. And you need to know right then, right now, how it applies. I think he'd probably marvel at the idea of having news instantaneous the way we have now. Not just by television, not just by our phone, our smartphone. I have a dumb phone, but the smartphone, which tells you everything. My phone's still telling me Nixon's going to resign, so I just ignore it a lot. But he'd marvel at this, that you can't really preach effectively unless you know what's going on in your world and you're dealing with it instantaneously, because God's Spirit just might change what you're saying. Our lesson allows us to marvel in Jesus' healing and to see miracles really not only as something happening, but as God's great power in the life of humanity. Let's not get bogged down in Jesus' compassion. Let's not get there. Let's frame a new picture, a completely new picture in which our suffering in that blind man's vision, our suffering can be seen in what God can do through us when we do suffer and hurt. We're talking about that this past week. What happens when you go through suffering? Some people want to continue suffering their entire life. And then some people want to continue with life because this is what God has given us. I like that kind of person. I'm with that person right now. That's me. That's also where Shearer came from when he looked at God's Word, because God's grace comes to us when we are at our lowest. This is when we grow in renewed strength and purpose. Any kind of suffering, any kind, is an opportunity to demonstrate the glory of God in our own lives. And believe me, that's the time you need to have a faith that sustains and strengthens and gives you patience. It's opened my eyes, I have to tell you, to the greater call of ministry whenever I heard him preach. In his Beecher lectures given at Yale on the ministry, on what it means in today's world, Shearer penned these lines. The pastor is to open men's minds to the splendor that shines forever in the face of human life, to the beauty and mystery of godliness, to the horses and chariots of fire that range themselves about life. He's to throw wide the door of every narrow room and let the mountains and the sea enfold his arms. He is to hold all hearts everywhere quiet under the creative spell of the infinite. Our duty as Christians, when you look at this scripture and you take it in the context of the larger picture of what is given and what is made and what is told, is to fill our time with the service of God. What I said about our duty is to fill the world with this, and Shearer reminded me of that. He reminded me that the spontaneous sometimes makes us a little more human. Not just the spontaneous, but the caring and the love and the sharing. And the kids, I said in confirmation this morning, every vocation, you witness for Jesus Christ. No matter what age, you witness for Jesus Christ. This is the idea in this story is really there's some sorrow in hurting and suffering. But there's nothing more poignant than discovering that it's too late to do anything when we should have done something. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And that light is in every single one of us. And it was in the mind and in the life of that man after he washed the mud from his eyes. Are you the one who can see? Are you the one who can see? It is I. And it's you. God, for your blessing and for your guidance, we're grateful, and for making us a marvelous vision of what your light can be in life. We give you thanks, and we pray only that we would be illuminators, not distractors, for the glory that really is ours in Jesus Christ. Amen.